Now we're on the discussion session from Lecture 15, and we've been talking about the discussion session pretty much already, but are there any questions that any of you have that you'd like to bring up at this time? What is it that is the most important thing in the world for all of us? The most important thing in the world for all of us is to like ourselves and to enjoy ourselves and to have other people like us, because we want that feedback, and to have the world be a beautiful place to live. How do we have that take place in our world? How do we have that be an experience in our world? We're talking about healing, and how do we have healing take place in our world? Naomi, how does healing take place in our world? How does... If you guys ever don't hear me when I'm speaking, please, if you ever don't hear me when I speak, tell me and I'll speak louder, okay? Because I want you to hear me. How do we work with healing in our world as a practitioner? That's not what you really mean to say, is it? No. That's not what you mean to say. How do we deal with healing as a practitioner? What does a practitioner do when someone comes to them for healing? Sees them whole and perfect. End. Do you discuss their illness?
No.
No. Do you discuss their problems? No.
No.
Do you feel sorry for them?
No.
No. Do you feel that they are having an unhappy situation?
No.
Why are you even dealing with them if you're thinking they're all so great? Why have they come to your attention? Why did they come to you?
They come to me because they don't believe on themselves. They don't believe on themselves.
No. They come to you because they want to accept what you believe. They want to accept what you know and believe is true. They believe you are a practitioner and you know how to put the cause in motion to make it work. They love you and they respect you and they honor you and they believe that you are the great guru who can make things happen. And you are. When you can take their attention away from thinking of a problem and be aware of the great reality behind it all, their perfection, that's all that matters, right? Now, can you do that?
Yes.
Do you do that?
Yeah.
Are you the wise one who does that?
Yes.
And why is it you don't look at appearances and believe in them?
Why? What?
Why don't you look at appearances and believe in them?
Okay, the appearances and believe in them
are real.
You say it.
It's like
shadow. Yeah, they're not real.
That's right.
Yeah.
And what about them not being real?
About?
What about the appearances not being real? You said the appearances are not real. What about that? How does that fit into your work as a practitioner? You see beyond the appearances to the reality, thank you, and you know the truth. Now, what is the truth of what a person is doing when they come to you?
The truth is they want to know what I know.
People who come to you are trying to play games with you, and you know the truth. And the truth is the only thing you want to deal with. You don't want to deal with their game. And you don't fight their game. You don't say, you can't play your game with me. You just say to them, you are whole and perfect. I see you whole and perfect. You are fantastic. I'm proud of you. Now, my saying this in the light of what you're experiencing tells you that you and I are not on the same wavelength. I'm on the wavelength of your wholeness and your perfection, your goodness and your magnificence. That's the wavelength I'm on. And that's the wavelength that I'm following. And that's the wavelength that makes sense to me. And that's the only wavelength that makes sense to me. Now, you're working with children. And you're teaching little children how to play chess. And little children learning how to play chess sometimes cheat. Most of the time they cheat. And they just do whatever they want to do. And you say to them, kids, you can do this however you wish. We'll play your game with your rules. But that's not the game the big people play with. That's not the game the world plays with, the universe plays with. That's not the game that we all play with. The game we play with has these rules. Now, if you want to play real chess, it has these rules. Now, are you ready to play real chess? Oh, yes. Okay, now, then let's pay attention to the real rules. The real rules are you can move this way or do that or this. And if you don't do that, I'm going to come along and just sweep you off the board. I'm going to come along and knock you down. Now, I don't want to knock you down. I want you to win. I want you to be the winner. But you cannot be the winner if you don't play by the rules. Somebody's trying to get our attention here. If you don't play the rules, you cannot be the winner. We can let you win, but you know we let you win. You know you didn't really win. You know we just made you feel good, and we didn't really make you feel good. Now, you, as a practitioner, you know what the rules are to be a practitioner. The rules to be a practitioner are that you see everyone in their original purity and integrity. You see beyond appearances. You see beyond the broken leg, and you see the leg whole and perfect, because you know that's what its natural experience is. There's nothing to keep it from having that natural experience, and nothing for it to have an instantaneous healing if you choose to be so. But if you choose to have it take time, it'll take its time and do its thing, but that's not your choice. Your choice is to have it be its perfect self now. And when you do it, when you have it that way, then it is that way. But it's up to you. It's up to you. Are you playing the children's game and doing it your own way? Or are you playing the adult game and being following the rules that the adults have, following the rules of the game? Now, I want to repeat. This is the rules of the game of being a practitioner. They do not change. They are eternally the same. What is the rule of being a practitioner? All is ideal right now. All is perfect right now. It's the original purity and integrity right now. And that is really something. So when you are wise enough to see all beings who come to you from that point of view, you're a good practitioner. If you are just a mollycoddler, oh, that's too bad. I'm so sorry that you're dying of this. I'm so sorry. Blah, 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 blah. A lot of practitioners do that. And they think they're practitioners. All they are is just a problem. They're the fly in the ointment. They're not any blessing at all. Because the person is just going through a normal human type of experience, and that's not what they want to do. Now, are you ready? Are you ready to be who you really are? Are you ready to be the practitioner you are? And the practitioner you are is the person who says, I look beyond appearances. I am not touched by the appearances you try to have me look at. I may get a glimpse of those appearances, but I'm not touched by them. They do not make me feel sad for you. They do not make me feel glad for you. I'm almost dead. I've almost got myself dead. I'm almost ready to kick off. Well, good for you. You go ahead. Know that whatever you choose is right. That's not what we say. If we say that, then we just say what they want to hear. If we say what we are, I look beyond this appearance that you have, And your ideal body is there, your ideal life is there, your ideal self is there, your original purity and integrity are there. Now, it's just a matter, are you willing to say for yourself that they are there? Do you accept them? Or do you want to go contrary to the truth about you and experience that? You can. You can live 100 lifetimes or die 100 lifetimes and do it over and over again. Usually you do. Because if you don't face your life and say, I'm master, I'm in charge, I'm not going to die by dying. I'm going to disappear by moving to another dimension. I'm going to take my body with me. See, and then when we say something like that, we're in charge. And if you leave your body behind, it's not a bad thing. It's just unnecessary. You're cluttering the earth. It's just unnecessary. What do you want to do? How do you want to be? How do you want to live your life? How do you want to live any of your activity? Do you want to be totally in charge as a practitioner? If you do, then you put the cause in motion. But you, right now, you said you're a practitioner. You, right now, you think as a practitioner. All of you who conclude this course this week will be given a practitioner certificate. And you will be practitioners. And I have pumped practitioner into you and pumped. There's only one thing a practitioner does. Anyone want to tell me? Quickly. What does a practitioner do? Well, you're not going to stick your foot in your mouth, huh? Yes. Mr. Aiken, what did you say?
The practitioner uses the principle.
The practitioner uses the principles? What principles? Hey, where were you all this time? The practitioner uses the principles to heal? To heal what? The practitioner uses the principles to heal? Oh, my goodness sakes, I didn't say a thing for the last 7 hours, for the last 10, 12 hours. I didn't say a thing. I'm so sorry. My goodness. You, who seem to be alert, who seem to be paying attention, I think you better listen again. Naomi. Tell him, in simple terms, what does a practitioner do? Loud and clear.
A practitioner sees things already done. That is, everything is whole and perfect.
Not really. Not really. The practitioner sees them whole and perfect, yes, but that's not what the purpose of the practitioner is. What's the purpose of the practitioner? The practitioner sees beyond the appearances, beyond the illusion, to the truth about them. Right? You look beyond the appearances, beyond the illusion, and you see the truth. Now, what's the truth? They're whole and perfect. Right? Okay. Now, what do you do? What does the practitioner do? You can't say this too many times. What does the practitioner do?
Yeah.
Okay, what does the practitioner do? The practitioner looks past all the illusions to the truth. And what is the truth? Wholeness and perfection. And that's the last step. The first step, the practitioner looks past any illusion, doesn't stop there. Doesn't say, oh, I'm so sorry to see you got the problem. Or I'm so glad you got the problem. Now you come to me and you pay me as a practitioner for working with you. You know, that's not the real. You look beyond the illusion to the truth of wholeness and perfection. You don't see the person whole and perfect, because if you see the person whole and perfect, that means you know they got something to be whole and perfect about. And your work is not that they have something to be whole and perfect about. Your work is to see beyond the illusion to the reality, the truth about them, that they are whole and perfect. It's subtle. These things are very subtle. You say to your kid, you are so stupid, you are so dumb, you're so terrible, you're so rotten, get out of here, I don't want to see you again. Well, to you, that's just a momentary frustration. To that kid, that's a life-threatening experience that will destroy that kid forever. And he will think that you don't love him as a parent, you don't care for him, that he's not worthwhile, that he's nothing. You see, it's the subtleties in life, the subtleties of our words, the subtleties of how we talk, are so terribly important. And we want to be on top of them at all times. And if you're not on top of them, then you're really in trouble. Okay? All right, Mr. Anu? A-N-I-U?
Elkin. Elkin.
Okay. Mr. Elkin, what did you want to tell us? What does a practitioner do?
A practitioner sees beyond appearances.
Yes, yes, yes. Go on.
And lives above the illusions.
Well, you're playing into the hand of the patient, and you don't want to do that. The practitioner sees beyond the appearances, and you don't play above the illusion, da-da-da-da-da. Simple. You play, you see beyond the illusion to the truth, and that's what you...
And the reality of that person.
That's what you bring forth in your consciousness for the patient, or client, or friend, whatever you want to call them. But the thing is, if you start saying the illusion, and then the illusion, and then the illusion, you're building it up, you know, that the problem is there, and that's not what you want to do.
It's like reinforcing the problems.
What's that?
It's like reinforcing the problems.
What are you talking about the problem now?
Mentioning illusions.
What are you talking about the problem now?
Now, what I'm saying is this.
Yes?
It is when you keep mentioning illusions, it's like reinforcing the illusion itself.
I said you say it once.
Okay,
they
once,
come to you. They come to you, and then you look beyond the illusion. You don't say a thing to them. You look beyond the illusion, and you say, I see you whole and perfect. That's a step by step by step that a practitioner does. Now, that we would talk more about it and do other things, I don't recommend. That's all. And you're not recommending it either. Good.
Thank you.
But we want to be... And the reason I keep bringing it back to you is you were the one who stuck your foot in your mouth, and I wanted to help you get it out again. You don't understand me? Don't ask. Don't ask. It's not worth discussing. If OK wants to whisper it in your ear, that's OK, but OK, forget it. You got him as a friend, and if he understands it, he may leave us. No, you're great. Any other question on that? Any other thought on that? I think that Naomi is doing a marvelous job as being our in-house practitioner. Thank you. You're welcome. Okay, Peter's got a question here. Is 3-hour meditation daily or how? What do you mean, is 3-hour meditation or how?
What I mean is this for life?
For life?
Is it for life? 3 hours meditation, is it daily for life?
Well, this is a condition that most people have who attend my seminars on the 3-hour meditation. They say, is this for life? Is this forever? And I say to you, when you say, I like me, and I tell you, say, I like me 100 million times a day, and you say, I like me 100 million times a day, within one day or two, you will be, I liked me upped. And you will never have to say it again because you will live it, you will be it, you have intoned it into yourself. When I have you do the 3-hour meditation with me in the morning, I'm cheating you. I'm having all the fun. You're the ones who should be doing the things that I'm doing. And if you do the first part, say, I What do you say? I'm God, God I am. I'm God, God I am. But and we do it together. But the second hour, I have all the fun. I tell you why I can say I am God. You don't tell me. I tell you. Now, you should be doing that for yourself. Because you should be taking it from your ballpark of what you mean when you say, why I can say I am God. Now, the third hour, the third hour is my hour. That's the hour that I and my divine self are talking together. And we're saying all sorts of neat things together, and I feel very good about it. Now, when you take the time to say that yourself and talk to yourself as God, then you get the blessing. But so long as you let me take your medicine for you, it's not going to do much good for you. But when you begin to do it for yourself, if you are really dedicated and really sincere in this and do it, say, for 6 months. And I tell people, this is my criteria, and I have told you all this many times already. If you will do this for 6 months, 6 months, not forever. Forever would be good too. But if you can do it for 6 months and not fall asleep. See, that's the criteria. If you fall asleep, you start your 6 months over again until you can do it for 6 months without falling asleep. When you can do it for 6 months without falling asleep, then you're the master. You truly are. It's not easy to do it and stay awake because you get bored. You get bored saying, I'm God, God I am, I'm God, God I am, because you're not putting yourself into it. But when what it really means, I am God, God I am, when that really touches your heart and touches your soul, when you have some tremendous problem in your life that you're handling at the same time you're doing your treatment, all of a sudden that treatment will say, ah, 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 that light will go on, and the treatment will, poof, like this, the healing is revealed, as Naomi says, you look past the appearances. Because most of your problems, and I mean all of our problems, most of our problems is we don't look beyond the appearance. We look at the appearance, and then we wonder why they're so terrible and why we have trouble getting rid of it. If we can look beyond the appearances always, under all circumstances, then we are the master, and the appearances will no longer have any power in our life to do anything to us. They are just as nothing. It's a good question that he asks, but it's a question that I answer every time I give the three-hour meditation at some point. People say, well, how long should we do this? I say, well, if you can do it for 6 months without falling asleep, if you fall asleep, you start your 6 months over again. And that's pretty mean. But the thing is, that's the way I offer it. And that's the way I suggest it. So if you can handle that, you got it. You got it. Okay? Did that help you? Peter? Did it help you?
Yes.
Okay, super. All right. So now we have another one here. Yes. Oh, that's always nice to know who's coming and when they're coming. Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. Here we have a question from, who wrote this one here? It looks like okay, huh? Who did that? You write that okay?
No.
Oh, the Prince of Peace wrote it. Okay. When I, Emmanuel, for all you who don't know the Prince of Peace here today, when I say, praise God, like you said it yesterday, is it your God self or your God outside of you? That's just a good thing. Praise God. I am always talking about the divine within me. If I'm not talking about the divine within me, I'm in trouble. Then I'm talking about God in you, or God in you and you. And you have no power over me whatsoever. You have no control over my life whatsoever. When I say praise God and you think I mean you, then you are you're uninformed. I say praise God, oftentimes humorously, but I say praise God because I'm praising myself. You got the answer. Praise God. In other words, I am intelligent enough to get through to you with the answer as God, you know. And but it's a good statement to ask because we want to make sure that we don't create God outside of ourselves and start worshiping God outside of ourselves. Because the minute we do that, then all the things that we have done and all the things that we've worked on through this entire week are lost. Because to worship God outside of yourself leads you nowhere. To worship God inside of yourself leads you into paradise. Okay. Now, he has another statement here. Today, he catches my statements and says what I say. Today you said, Satan, get thee behind me. Is there any Satan in us? Now, if you will excuse me, Emmanuel, if you will excuse me, I was quoting the Bible at that moment. Remember?
Yes.
And who was it that was saying this? That was Jesus saying that. And Jesus was saying, to this essence, get thee behind me, I will have nothing to do with you. In other words, these are negative ideas and I will not accept them in my world and in my consciousness. Naomi?
Yes.
No. I said, people distract you, don't you? Oh, he's a nice guy. Ask him for a ring. Now, talk about your work, and you say a practitioner says, I look beyond the illusion to the truth. Okay? Here we say, Jesus was saying, Satan, get thee behind me. He was using the alliteration of the time where they were saying that evil thoughts are Satan. Evil ideas are Satan. They are the devil. They didn't do quite as good as some of the later people did who painted pictures of Satan and had all sorts of neat experiences with him. But he merely said of this illusion, he would have nothing to do with them. Get thee behind me, out of my sight, out of my consciousness, out of my world. I want nothing to do with you. And when he said that, he didn't say that it was real. He said it was an illusion. Get thee behind me. Get thee behind me. And how can you tell truth to get behind you? How can you tell physical objects to get behind you unless you turn around and then they're behind you? But this is what the point is, and this is what the point is, Emmanuel, because I don't talk about these things, but I cannot open my mouth and refer to the Bible without talking dumb stuff. And the ministers for 2,000 years have been talking the same dumb stuff all the time, and they're making it sound like it's real or important. And in fact, they're embossing the fact, they're making it more real, and it's not real. It's not real. You can have, and unfortunately it's true, you can have six ministers read the same Bible and stand up and give six different interpretations of what is being said. Six different interpretations. How can they do that? How can they give six different interpretations on the same statement out of the Bible without any additional information? And maybe if these ministers are creative, like many of our Pentecostal ministers are, if they're really creative, they can give you 360 interpretations out of the same statement from the Bible. They'll have Jesus doing anything you want him to do. And they will prove to you that he said it and did it. And I would, I know you aren't interested, and I'm happy you're not interested. I would love to give each one of you one of the volumes of this author who has done research on the Bible writings and how it is just one string of letters after the other, without paragraphs, without quotation marks, without commas, without any type of indication, and you know, the dots on the top and the bottom of letters that the Arabic have. And for you to read it and try to understand it, if you understood Arabic, how could you understand it? Where does it stop? Where is the pause? Where is any part of it that makes any sense? And this is what the early biblical leaders and teachers had to deal with. This is what Jesus' disciples had to deal with. But Jesus' disciples had no problem. Jesus' disciples had no problem with the Bible because they spoke from the Bible within themselves. They had first-hand knowledge of the master teacher, and that's all they talked about. First-hand knowledge. And Paul came along, and he had telepathy. Paul had a special wireless Wi-Fi connection between Jesus and himself. Jesus was already dead, already gone, already not present, and Paul was communing with Jesus, getting all of Jesus' ideas on how to say things and do things, and he had never attended one talk by Jesus, never read one word by Jesus, never did anything by Jesus, and yet he is considered an authority.
Yes.
And he had nothing to do with it. Now, can you imagine a religion that has such fallacious basis for it, and you call that gospel? You call that everlasting? I know you hate me for saying this, but you can't afford to do that. You read in the Bible as much as you can and find what Jesus said. But make sure that if you read something and it's contrary to what you believe Jesus would have said, perhaps it is not what Jesus said. Because those people who wrote down what Jesus said, how old were they? They weren't born yet. They were not born yet when Jesus was talking. They were not even living on the planet Earth. It was over 50 years later that they began to present these biblical stories. And here they had a hearsay from those who might have attended the lecture here and those who might have said that they heard it and they didn't hear it merely to make themselves look important. How many people who are wanting notoriety and they go to the police department and they say, I shot that person. And so the police, of course, take him in custody and then they ask him questions. What was he shot with? How was he shot? Where was he shot? And stuff. And they answer all the questions wrong. And you know they're just saying that to get publicity for themselves, to get prominence for themselves, to get people to think that they're a big man, whether it's putting in jail or killing. They're crazy. They're unstable. And the police have to be very careful with unstable witnesses who did not. So if a person will admit to something he didn't do like that just to get attention, imagine how many witnesses attending some activity will admit to something that they didn't even see. They were in the other room when that was going on or when that was happening. And yet they have a story to tell and they make it sound so real as though they really were there. And everybody else is so busy with their own life they didn't notice that they weren't there. Until perhaps some little child comes up and he says, well, Daddy, you were in the kitchen with me when it happened. Oh, mess up the whole thing. The court says, were you in the kitchen? You're going to lie to your son? You know? You lie to the court, you lie to the people, but you cannot lie to your child. Because if you lie to your child once, all the rest of your life, you are a useless being. It's fantastic. Okay, let's see if there's anything more on here. That's it. And then we have another one that just appeared here under my flashlight. And it says, 3-hour meditation. First stage is chanting that specific active.
What specific? What specific?
What specific active? What specific something are carried out in the second and third stages? Oh, I see. Your first stage is I am God, God I am. Your second stage, and we have a booklet about the 3-hour meditation if you like it. And in it, it tells all these things. The second stage is, why can I say I am God? Why can I say I am God? The first stage is, I am God. The second stage, why can I say I am God? The third stage is, how can I talk to God? What does God say to me? How can I talk to God? How can I have a one-on-one relationship with God? And you see, that's pretty big and pretty important, isn't it? Okay, any other questions here? Is this one that we got? I'm sure we did. You know, that's Peter's request. Do we have to do it forever? Okay. Now, we have a few minutes here before we leave. Do you have any other question? Or have we pretty much, yes? Or have we pretty much covered what we wanted to say at this point here? We'll have some more very wonderful and exciting comments coming up tomorrow. But if you can be here and can enjoy it, I'll certainly enjoy seeing you. And if not, I'll enjoy having you in my heart. And you're free to always be where you want to be, to do what you want to do, and live what you want to live. But if you have the opportunity of taking a course, and you can fit the full course into your program, you're blessed and you're honored, and you'll find it was well worth the effort to put in for the last few moments. So whatever you can do, don't think I'm chastising you. I love you, and I see you all doing whatever makes you happy and makes you feel that life is worthwhile. And now we will have our time of sharing with one-on-one. Naomi's got point one. Enoch, the master, has point two. And Dinah, the mistress, has point three. So if any of the rest of you want to get on here, plan to get on tomorrow, as Sybil will write you up and get you down so that you're sure to have your time. I'm happy to share with you. So, yes?
Thank you.
Oh, grazie.
Thanks.
Grazie, prego. Thank you. I love you.